WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Milton upgraded back to a Category 5 storm and barreling toward Florida's west coast. It's expected to make landfall late tomorrow. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says state and federal aid is in place.
Almost every place on the west coast of Florida could get major storm surge.
But Milton will also move across the state with hurricane force winds. Two residents in Orlando voicing their concerns.
I'm scared because you never know how it's going to give it to us.
Their biggest fear right now, power outages. Not really floods.
Crews are standing by. Gas Buddy, though, estimates 1,300 gas stations in Florida have run out of fuel. Former President Trump's campaign events in Florida canceled today due to Hurricane Milton. His running mate, J.D. Vance, was in Michigan. Israel's prime minister urging the Lebanese people to help sideline Hezbollah and take back their country. Israeli forces are expanding ground operations in Lebanon and still vowing to respond to Iran's missile attacks last week. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is setting a 10-year deadline for cities across the country to replace their lead pipes. The move aims to make drinking water safe for more Americans.
There's no safe level of lead exposure, period. None. The only way forward is to replace every lead pipeline and connect the American people to clean water.
Biden made the announcement today in Milwaukee, which has been slowly removing lead pipes for years. That work has accelerated under the Biden-Harris administration. Wisconsin school superintendent has a challenger in the next election. Jeff Wright is the superintendent of the Sauk Prairie School District. Wright is the first person to step up to challenge Jill Underly. The election is April 1st. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. The federal government is getting involved in the controversial proposed sale of the Sauk County-operated nursing home. Federal Trade Commission Chair Linda Kahn made a surprise visit to Baraboo last week. She spoke to an event organized by people who want state regulators to block the sale of the Sauk County Health Care Center. They say they're worried that selling the nursing home will result in lower quality care. The proposed buyer is Aria Healthcare, which operates a facility in the Milwaukee area that got 39 health citations in a year's time. The American Red Cross needs disaster volunteers after Hurricane Helene. The Red Cross's Rebecca Rockhill in Green Bay says money helps most.
We just don't have the logistics to be able to take in-kind donations. Right now, the greatest way to help is to look at financial donations.
The Red Cross website has more information on donating. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell for Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is WMDX News.
A Badger named Player of the Week.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. Wisconsin Badgers Trek Kekahuna named Big Ten Freshman of the Week. 6 catches and 2 touchdowns against Purdue. Head coach Luke Fickell says running back Tywee Walker looked good as the game wore on.
It gave Tywee an opportunity probably to truly kind of see what he can establish, you know, and even, you know, being physical at that. I think those kinds of guys do gain momentum after taking hits.
NFL, the Green Bay Packers host the Arizona Cardinals Sunday. Matt LaFleur says he expects Romeo Dobbs will be back after meeting with the suspended wide receiver yesterday. Jair Alexander says Dobbs is one of their best receivers.
I always want to go against Dobbs. I mean, dude's freaking really good. I mean, he come in his rookie year not catching a single pass on me, and now he's in contested. We're going up for 50-50 balls now. I mean, he's a pro. You know, he goes about it the right way. He comes in. I mean, he catches 100 balls. It's just more after practice. His attention to detail is very on point.
That's the Packers' Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low around 40. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny sky and pleasant, a high around 70. Up to the upper 70s on Thursday as sun continues, and heating up to the low 80s on Friday before a cooler weekend approaches. It's 69 degrees right now.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' 3 locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we have Tringby, Olsen, Pat Kreitlow, and more. Be here for a hump day edition. Hump day!
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-775-CIVIC. We are eagerly anticipating the arrival of host Mark Becker from Rational Revolution. That show airs on the Civic Media Network here, 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. So when Mark gets here, we will get him on and we will introduce Mark and have some awesome conversations. I'm totally confident of that. In the meantime, folks, if you didn't know, Wisconsin's a swing state. It's very important. Did you know that?
It is?
It absolutely is.
What does that mean?
And once again, the politicos are here. But this time, President Joe Biden, man, the President of the United States, rolling into Milwaukee. And if you were like me driving around this afternoon on the 794, 94, 43 interchanges, it was a little hairy. They started blocking things off and routing traffic, which they will do when the dignitaries are in town. A lesser dignitary recently, Donald Trump, was in Milwaukee recently as well. Same kind of thing, shutting off the highways. Hopefully this is all passed now. But when the president comes to town, these are things that we want to talk about. Why? Why is the president in town? Well, according to WisPolitics, he announced today an additional $2.6 billion for drinking water upgrades and lead pipe replacements nationwide, including $43 million for Wisconsin. That's us, Wisco. Now, of the new funding, 49% must be provided to disadvantaged communities as grant funding or principal forgiveness that does not have to be repaid. Biden said these communities have borne the brunt of lead poisoning for too damn long. Studies show communities of color have been the hardest hit. One study showed black children are at least 2 times more likely to have elevated levels of lead in their blood than children of other racial groups. Like all major investments we are making in the environment, it's also about creating good-paying jobs, many of them union jobs, for laborers, plumbers, and pipe fitters. He said it's outrageous half the population of tribal lands in the U.S. still lack clean water. Biden also announced the Environmental Protection Agency has finalized federal regulations requiring drinking water systems in the U.S. to replace lead service lines within 10 years. 10 years!
Hey, that's better than the 20 we were talking about yesterday.
The mayor of Milwaukee was shooting for 20. Apparently, the EPA is saying now 10. Now, the city of Milwaukee, where Biden made his announcement today, is already set to replace lead pipes within the 10-year timeline. So far, lead pipe replacement in the city, funded by a $30 million investment from the bipartisan infrastructure law in 2024, has cut what had been a 60-year timeline.
Oof.
And we put a man on the moon, man. It takes 60 years to replace some pipes. Are you kidding me? Similarly, Edgerton, southeast of Madison, has replaced 100% of its known lead pipes after receiving funding from the bipartisan infrastructure law. So, good news. President here talking about it. legislation matters. Additional $2.6 billion for drinking water, $43 million for the state of Wisconsin. We do have some sound from the current president. Let's get to some of the Biden. Cut number one, please, Jess.
Providing what's good for our health and for our environment is also good for our economy, and it's good for jobs.
Yeah, and it's good for kids not to grow up, you know, sucking lead pipe water. And the other thing, too, I mean, it's not just the lead pipes, and certainly lead paint, lead in the ground, those are also very concerning things. But, you know, this is what we're talking about. It's the lead pipes. Let's get rid of them. We can do it. Not in 60 years. How about 10? A new rule for the EPA, removing lead pipes. Cut two, please, Jess.
I'm announcing a new rule written into law from the Environmental Protection Agency that requires water systems across America replace lead pipe service in every single one in America within 10 years. Must be done.
Yeah, baby, make it happen. The fact that it's taking this long. I mean, what's the acceptable level of kids consuming lead?
Zero.
Let's play cut three, please. I think the president agrees.
There's no safe level of lead exposure, period. None. The only way forward is to replace every lead pipeline and connect the American people to clean water. No alternative.
Yes. What a great concept. What a great idea. Clean drinking water. Who would have thunk? I mean, that's good politics. It's good policy. It's just a good idea. And we're using that, what, the socialist money? Is this socialist money? I'm not sure how MEGA defines, you know, these kinds of programs.
Anything that really helps the whole population, that's definitely socialism. And we certainly can't have it.
No, of course not. Of course not. I was going to digress, but I will not do it. We'll stay on topic. Don't make me do it. What are we on? Cut number four, please, I think.
Saving hundreds of thousands of mothers and infants from low birth weights and children with lasting brain damage. Protecting more than 1,000 adults from premature death from heart disease every single year because of lead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. President Joe Biden in Milwaukee, Wisconsin today, talking about this plan. We got one more from the president?
We do have one more from the president. It's a little bit of a less than what he's done, but it's good. Let's hear this one.
When the last guy was president, he promised Infrastructure Week every week for 4 years. And he didn't build a damn thing.
Didn't build a damn thing.
Now that's mic control. Leaning in there. Oh, that's good.
He's not wandering around like Trump, leaning this way and leaning that way.
Stop it, Tom.
Now, WisPolitics concludes their reporting of the president's visit to Milwaukee. Senior administration White House officials at a press call on yesterday said they are sure 99% of the cities will make the 10-year guideline and the EPA will aggressively pursue a timeline that stays in line with the president's vision for the 1% that don't. The EPA estimates the final rule will prevent, you want to put a dollar on this? The final rule, according to the EPA, will prevent 900,000 infants from being born with low birth weight, prevent up to 200,000 IQ points from being lost in children, and reduce up to 1,500 cases of premature death from heart disease every year. Now, who can be against that? Anybody? 855-752-4842. I'm sure there's some folks out there that could have a problem replacing the lead pipes. I don't know why, I don't know who, but I bet there is some consternation among folks out there who maybe think that, you know, spending this money is a terrible idea, or maybe it's just not worth it.
Well, we've got one on the line right now.
Oh, or maybe the science isn't, you know, really, really up to snuff about what lead actually does to children. I mean, maybe you just don't believe the science.
I mean, lead, it could be really good for you.
You never know.
What is truth, Dom?
855-752-4842. That's the truth. That's the true number. Let's get CJ on the line. Welcome, CJ. Happy days, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. If this is such a great thing, you know.
Is it not a great thing?
It would be, but you know, I own some old Victorians, and who's going to replace, do you have any idea what it's going to cost to replace the lead pipes in an old home? Because what good does it do to replace the lateral when all these old houses in pretty much every town has lead pipes in them? So the mere fact that it's not going to solve the issue, and they're going to cost millions of dollars.
So I want to be very clear. So you think this is objectionable? Am I understanding you correctly here, CJ?
Well, I just want you to realize this. You make it sound like it solves the issue of lead. It doesn't. There's old pipes in these houses.
Yeah, I mean, there are laterals. Yes, homeowners have to handle their own business, CJ. Are you suggesting that perhaps the homeowners not handle their own business? I mean, isn't it up to the government to make sure at least the water that gets to the home and what you do in your home and your proper property, that's your business, right, CJ? Now, whether or not you want to keep those lead lines in there for you, that's your call, dude. But don't you feel that the government and the municipalities have an obligation to at least provide clean drinking water to the home, whether or not CJ decides to upgrade his own lines?
Well, I agree with you, but the point is you're making it sound like the problem solved. You haven't mentioned it until I brought it up.
Of course we've mentioned it. We've talked about it at length in the past as well. I didn't bring it up today. Now we're talking about it right now. So congratulations, CJ. Yes, of course, the homeowners are still a responsibility to provide or for them to upgrade their lines. Sure. Now, do you think that the government should provide some sort of financing, some funding, some effort to relieve the homeowners of that burden, or at least help out in financing or some sort of loan product?
Well, the government is the taxpayer. So if it's along the same line,
the government is not the taxpayer. No, CJ, the government collects taxes. The government, do you understand, CJ? The government collects taxes.
Well, who do you think pays that, Dom? Who do you think pays it? You know, it doesn't just come from thin air. I know you liberal, what? Democrat, progressive Marxists believe that.
Wait.
Wow, man,
you're on fire. Like, you just said what? The government pays taxes, CJ. Those are the words that came out of your mouth. And I'm telling you, the government does not pay the taxes.
No, I said the taxpayers pay into the government. The government just
okay. All right, you misspoke. So, okay, yes, the taxpayers. Yes, we understand how the funding of government works. There's many ways to fund the government. One, of course, is taxpayers that will pay taxes. The other, of course, is government borrowing. Right, government borrowing, CJ. You know what I'm saying? That's another way of raising revenues. Right?
From who?
Well, from whoever buys the bonds, man. I mean, China buys a lot. Japan holds a lot. I mean, you know, the biggest bondholders in this country are American citizens and companies, as far as I'm aware of. So, yeah, I mean, that's how it's done. So that's okay. So now we talked about how the government is funded. CJ, you got a problem with that? You got a problem maybe we're borrowing too much, but perhaps we shouldn't extend the Trump tax cuts that add trillions to the debt with no upside. How do you think about taxing the billionaires, Lombard? CJ, you down with that?
Well, how about...
Is that a yes or a no? Are you down with taxing billionaires a little more, CJ? Can you just answer the question, dude? All right, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to run out of time here. Do you think we should raise taxes on the billionaires and the corporations?
You know what? Not to 27% like you want to do, or your...
Okay, what rate would you raise them to then, CJ?
Because you know why?
Why?
Because
what rate?
They're going to leave the country like they did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged. You know that's fiction, CJ, much like some of your comments. 855-752-4842.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24
4 hours. He said, great. Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you our fair audience, Mark Becker. He is the host of Rational Revolution, playing out on the Civic Media Network 2 to 3 p.m. on the Saturdays. Mark, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. How are you?
I am fantastic, Mark. It's great to talk to you. For our audience's sake and for mine, Mark, let's give a little bit of your background and how the Rational Revolution podcast came about.
I can't take credit for it. It was originally hosted by Chris Alfheim and her Merry Gang of Bandits, and they she kind of started that whole thing. And I've known Chris for a long time, and there's a really long story, but it's just. She's a wonderful person, and she asked me to fill in and take over the show as she ran for office.
All right.
And because she couldn't do it anymore. So, yeah, it was all credit to Chris.
Well, I appreciate that. Rational Revolution. Revolutions aren't generally rational, to my understanding of history, Mark. Why the name? What do you hope to accomplish with the show?
Well, for me, basically what it is we don't talk about what's left versus right. We talk about what's right versus wrong. And because I think that, common sense doesn't really have a political party. I mean, right now it does, but, that kind of stretches. But it can go beyond politics. I Reed Ribble is a good friend of mine, and he was in No Labels, and that was an awesome organization that I heard a ton about and respect a great deal because it really, it's conscious lawmakers that want to do good, that throw their titles aside, that just sit down and try to figure stuff out. And so that's kind of what the Rational Revolution tries to do.
I appreciate that sentiment, if nothing else, because, of course, even doing good, quote unquote, is a relative term, a relative effort. Don't you agree? Depends on what your perspective is. Do you think there is a, quote unquote, universal good that, all benevolent politicians can agree on?
No, because Marjorie Taylor Greene exists.
Right.
So I think that we'd like to get back to that. I think.
Yeah.
When I was in the Republican Party, there was this underlying idea of, for me anyway, and for some of the Republicans that I knew and became friends with, that, at the core of everything that we do, regardless if it's us or the Democrats taking credit for it, we just want to do what's right for the people that we represent. And that's what we used to be about.
Well, and it, obviously, Mark, it seems to have evolved from that. And some of the things that are happening now, we just spent the last hour talking about Republican senatorial candidate from California for the state of Wisconsin, Eric Hovde.
Yes,
you know, lying about trans suicide, lying about you know, FEMA's you know, using their money for illegal immigrants, and you know, list goes on and on. And this seems to be, it seems like a strategy for me, Mark, nowadays, that I don't know if they know that this is inaccurate or wrong, but seemingly they would. If anyone, you know, wants to be elected, they should have some semblance of credibility. And when you're out there, you know, spouting mistruths and misinformation and straight up lies, you know, I guess it's hard to garner votes, at least my vote that way, but there must be some sort of appeal. Mark, you said you were a Republican or used to be Republican. How do you explain this?
I honestly can't. I mean, it's the only thing that I can think of is that it's a post-truth era in the Republican Party where they see Donald Trump and they try to emulate that and try to get as crazy and radical as they possibly can. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene was tweeting yesterday that, you know, they're controlling the government that she's part of, by the way, is controlling this hurricane, you know? And so it's like from Eric Hovde to Donald Trump, to Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's no sense of, they don't really care what the truth is. It's disgusting.
Well, and it goes beyond that. Of course, it's their media frenzy as well. Guys like Alex Jones is out there saying he's got proof that, you know, the U.S. government has control of and directing these storms. And it's just it's certainly crazy talk to me. Mark Becker, host of Rational Revolution here on the Civic Media Network, 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturday. Mark, some of the news that I want to get your sense on, the former president, Donald Trump, apparently, according to CNN, who's reporting on Bob Woodward's new book, is saying that Trump, over the course of the last several years, has probably talked on a private phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin up to 7 times. And I'm just wondering, I mean, this is a former Republican president who's apparently sending, what, COVID supplies to Russia? The reporting is just very strange to me. I want to get your take on what you think is going on with the former president and his chances in this election.
Well, I mean, I think it just really echoes why he has such a hard time, you know, answering the question if he wants Ukraine to win the war, because he doesn't. He doesn't, you know, and he doesn't understand why that is an important battlefield when it comes to the freedom of the world. He has no, you know, moral compass when it comes to that. It's shocking, but on one hand, it's not. Because that's what we've come to expect from Donald Trump. Vladimir Putin's a strong man, and that's Donald Trump. He's everything that Donald Trump wants to be. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And it should shock the conscience of the voters, because that's who, you know, your candidate is appeasing to, and that's not okay. That's not normal.
It does not seem normal. It should not be okay. Mark, what's your sense of what happens with the Republican Party? Let's assume, and we only got 60 seconds left, Trump loses. What would you like to see, or what would you expect the remnants of the Republican Party? What happens there?
So this is fascinating. I had a conversation with Michael Steele, former GOP chair, and I asked him that question. He does not think the GOP survives. I talked to Reid Ribble. Joe Walsh was on my show. I've asked him privately as well. And they've all said the same thing, that the GOP likely should and will cease to exist, and it will be some sort of something that comes out of the ether. I don't know what it is, but the GOP should be lost.
Mark Becker, he is the host of Rational Revolutions, 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays on the Civic Media Network. Mark, thank you for your time today. Look forward to keep on doing this. We'll do it longer next time. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure. 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 24 people in Wisconsin have landed in the hospital after eating eggs that are now being recalled. The eggs came from a farm in Bondwell. The eggs were sold under the brand names of Milo's Poultry Farms, M&E Family Farms, and Tony's Fresh Market. Duck eggs from Happy Quackers Farm are also part of the recall. The nation's agriculture secretary says Liz Cheney's endorsement in Wisconsin last week sends a message to Republicans thinking of voting for Kamala Harris in order to preserve democracy.
That is a very stark choice. And as a Republican, you can feel confident that you're doing what is right for the country by casting your vote for the vice president.
That's Tom Vilsack speaking to Civic Media's Todd Abba. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. Madison police say they found more than 80 shell casings after a reported shooting on the city's east side Sunday. Officers answered the call on North Thompson Drive. Several people say they reported hearing gunshots and seeing people running from the area. Six vehicles were damaged by bullets. A stray bullet also entered one home, coming within 2 feet of small children. Police found the suspected weapons on the ground on Milwaukee Street. Police managed to arrest one person. An area store that's been in business for 130 years is closing its doors. Gilbertson's store opened in 1894 in Kaiser, just northeast of DeForest. Owner Ken Gilbertson is 85 years old and has decided to close up shop. Locals say Gilbertson's is more than just a store. It's a place where people come to socialize. Gilbertson says his store has stayed in business for so long because of its loyal customers. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beyoncé's album Cowboy Carter was snubbed when it came to the Country Music Awards, even though it hit the top of the charts. Country singer Luke Bryan addressed the controversy on the Andy Cohen Live podcast, saying he understood why her fans were upset, but also gave Beyoncé some advice, saying, "If you're going to make country albums, come into our world and be country with us." Just a word to the wise for Beyoncé, renting a U-Haul might be sort of tough if you're moving to Nashville. People that have near-death experiences often say they see a light. During COVID, Al Pacino says he was close to death and even had no pulse at one point, and paramedics had to bring him back to life. Pacino also offered that when he was supposedly no longer alive and transitioning, that there was nothing and he did not see a light. Or maybe God saw Righteous Kill. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low around 40. For tomorrow, a mostly sunny sky and pleasant, a high around 70. Up to the upper 70s on Thursday as sun continues, and heating up to the low 80s on Friday before a cooler weekend approaches. It's 69 degrees right now.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Substack blogger Mike McCabe.
And we'll be talking to comedian Paul McCurry about his show, Permission to Speak.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers suicidal. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it. Just pull the plug. People say. say that I'm a bad influence. I say the world's already I'm just adding to it. They say I'm.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to appreciate our last guest, his name, Mark Becker. He's the host of Rational Revolution. Find that airing on the Civic Media Network, 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. Of course, you can find it on your super cool Civic Media app as well. Look for the podcast and the downloads and all the stations. It's super cool. Check it out. Or online, civicmedia.us. I was thinking about this, and unfortunately, we had Mark scheduled for earlier, and I would have liked to have a little more time with him. Because I'd love having these conversations with you know, conservatives that have, I'm going to say, seen the light, but at least can recognize what the situation is right now. And as some of you may know, I've voted all sorts of ways in my life. Hell, there was a time in my life I didn't even vote. Voting, I'm not doing that. And so I have. I've voted for Republicans. I've voted for Democrats. Voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary. I voted for Scott Walker in the recall. I know. Can you believe it? And I had my own personal rationale for every one of those votes. Hell, in 2016, I was the MC for the Libertarian Party of the state of Wisconsin's state convention. I was the MC. It was one of my first paid gigs.
Aw.
So I got to see, you know, how and that's the third largest political party in the country, the Libertarians. And I know some of those cats and like some of those guys, folks. It's really been a joy to do the show and to meet all the different folks out there. And trust me, you know, years ago when the recall was happening, I voted for Tom Barrett initially, and of course Scott Walker won. Tom, former mayor of the city of Milwaukee, now I believe it's ambassador of Luxembourg or something, some cushy job. Tom, you gotta be retiring soon, man. Maybe I should get that job.
Yeah, you'd make a great ambassador.
When that particular election was happening, Crudy and I just started doing the show, The Devil's Advocates, and so I was like very devil advocate-y. And no. Yeah, you believe it? So I voted for Barrett initially, and I'm like, when the recall came around, and I get Act 10 dropped the bomb, totally redid how the public unions worked and all that kind of thing. But my position was at the time, that's legislation. That's just what you do. Elections have consequences. It wasn't like Scott Walker was breaking the law. Well, he was. We just didn't know that at the time. He was coordinating with third party groups. He had all sorts of problems on his own side. But I will digress from there. Point is, I voted for Barrett, and then I voted for the Democrat. Then I voted for Scott Walker in the recall. Then when 2016 rolled around, I was on my libertarian kick at that time, and I emceed the Libertarian State Convention, got to introduce and meet Gary Johnson. He was the candidate at the time. He was the governor of New Mexico, I believe, or former governor of New Mexico. Hell, he had, administrative executive experience as a governor of a state. And I know lots of folks are like, oh man, Jill Stein really stuck it to Hillary Clinton in that election. And she did to some degree. But let's not forget the Libertarians pulled probably 100 some thousand votes themselves. Now, what percentage of them would have voted for the Democrat, the Democrats, Hillary Clinton? Hard to say. If there wasn't another option, perhaps I would have gone for Hillary Clinton at the time. So we'll never know, right? We won't know. And I guess my point to Tom, what is Aleppo? Nice. 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It's a text line. I can see it. It's hard for me to, judge or put any judgment on someone who's going to vote for this candidate or that candidate. Now, I was talking to one of my favorite bartenders recently, who's younger cat, going to vote for the Libertarian Party. I'm like, man, is there anything I can do to convince you not to? And he couldn't think of anything. I get a lot of the, and I had this thought myself. Everyone's this. All the politicians lie. Everybody does this. Everybody does that. I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm going to vote for someone I actually want to vote for. Now I get the sentiment. I've had that sentiment. Now I've evolved away from that sentiment. I've looked at the current political landscape and made the decision that no, there's only one functioning political party in this country
at the moment. Yeah,
there is only one. There is only one, and that is the Democratic Party. Not the Democrat Party, the Democratic Party. Democratic Party. What was the Republican Party has had a cigarette put out on its ass by MAGA and by Trump and by the sycophants and the hangers-on and the craven, the power-hungry that would cast aside what they would have us believe as voters, their moral underpinnings for a little taste of that sweet, sweet power.
And only a fraction, because Humpty Dumpty doesn't like to share.
Oh, right. For a few crumbs.
For a few crumbs.
And so the power that they receive, but it also depends how I look. A guy like Vance, you know, Donald Trump's not, I would assert, not a particularly healthy man. We don't know what his circumstances are. He has not released his medical records. He hasn't released his taxes. I think he's going to do that when the audit's finished, right?
Oh, yeah.
But a guy like Vance, who's 40 years old, I mean, what's his downside? Maybe you know, Trump pulls it out and Trump has the big one. And now a guy like Vance is in control of this. So, there are opportunities, I guess. Maybe you can become the head of Trump organization. I'm sorry, the Trump Media Corporation, like one of the former congressmen did when he left Congress to go run that organization. So, I mean, there's motivations out there, and that's fine. I mean, it's not like everybody has pure motivations. I mean, look at the, I believe, Democratic mayor of New York City. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's not that there is not corruption and there are not, you know, flawed people. Of course, the human species is flawed. My attorney used to tell us, Dom, we are a flawed species. Yes, yes. Jeff Skuttleson, yes, we certainly
are. Was that an answer to something that you had done?
It was just an observation, yes, while he represented me. So I'm not under any sort of illusion that there is a holy grail out there, that there is, you know, one party will, and Kamala Harris is going to take us to the promised land or any of that. No, I don't buy that. I think she has the skills to not crap the bed. Let's put it that way. Donald Trump, I think, crapped the bed. I think he did. If you look at his administration and the chaos, if you go back and see some of the video, if you look at the press conferences when he was talking about COVID, and it was, I blocked so much of that out of my mind.
I mean, it was weird.
COVID. My dad had passed away during that time frame. It was just a really strange time. The kids are at home doing homeschooling, and I'm at home trying to do a radio show, and I'm not, you know, I'm kind of loud. You know, the whole thing was just super strange. And I think there could not have been a worse person to be the president of the United States than Donald Trump. I mean, the narcissist, what we needed in that moment is someone who actually cared about the country, that cared about other people, and not just was concerned about his electoral success, because that's what he focused on. That was his concern. When COVID hit, he knew this was going to be bad. He knew this was, he told Bob Woodward as much, you know, the same Bob Woodward who just released a book that talks about Donald Trump calling and having private conversations with Vladimir Putin up to 7 times since Trump left office. But I'll digress just a little bit. He's absolute lacking of leadership and looking out for his own election. That's what drove him. That's what drove him. That's what continues to drive him. His own, not just political survival, but his literal freedom. I mean, if you read and believe and think there that Jack Smith has the goods on Donald Trump based on the 168-page filing that was released by Judge Chutkan articulating why the activities and actions of the former president during the January 6th insurrection and the time leading up to it were specifically done as a personal nature, as a candidate. That was his effort. That's what he did. He knew what was happening. He knew he'd have a hell of a time. He knew He knew if lots of folks got their ballots in the mail and did mail ballot. Remember the lies he was, the concern that he had. Well, if mail ballots go out in the mail and everyone votes that way, he said the Republicans will never win another election. I mean, think about that. He's saying all these things 6 months before the election. What was he concerned about during COVID? He was concerned about his own electoral success. Wasn't concerned about you. Wasn't concerned about me. If that would have been a Democrat, I would have the same criticism. It doesn't matter what party you are. If you don't have the humanity and the capability to do the job, and frankly, Donald Trump doesn't. Not because he's a Republican, but because he's Donald Trump. And when we see Kamala Harris, pardon me, at Ripon College last week, the birthplace of the Republican Party, with Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter, you know, I mean, what we're seeing is just so beyond the norm, quote unquote. So I understand where people are coming from. I get it. I've been there, done that. So it's not like I'm coming at this from a Marxist, socialist, whatever CJ calls, whatever Senator Ron Johnson calls. They don't even know the terms of the words or what they mean. But as long as you're not like them, they're going to call you some sort of word. Now, I throw around the word fascist, and I don't use that term lightly. I think if you're going to force beliefs onto people, I think that's a little fascistic to me. And the difference being from what I believe is what I believe. And I'll try to convince you, perhaps, that my way is the better way, but I'm not going to force it upon you. I believe there should be gay marriage. I'm not going to force that upon you if you don't want to get gay married. I believe cannabis, marijuana should be legal, like it is in so many states surrounding this great state of Wisconsin. But I'm not going to suggest that you must imbibe. Of course not. It's your decision to do. It's freedom, right? I believe a woman has a right to get an abortion. I believe that's none of your business. I don't believe the government should be in the business of forced birthing by law under threat of imprisonment and penalty. Now, just because I believe that, I would try to convince you and everyone around me that that should be the case. But I'm not going to force you to have an abortion if you don't want to have an abortion. You see the difference here? Is that my beliefs are my beliefs, and I'm not going to shove them down your throat. But that's not how this mega party works. That's not how they're acting. They want to shove it down our throat. I believe trans people have just as much right to be in this world as anybody else. Everybody's got a right. Now, maybe you don't believe that, but I do. And that doesn't mean you have to transition. Doesn't mean you have to be a trans person. It's just, you know, extending the same civil liberties and love and acceptance for everybody of every race, creed, whatever, religion or no religion, sex or no sex, what, it doesn't matter. What is the American dream? I think it's to pursue freedom. Absent of fear and retribution of other people telling you what religion you have to worship and how you must act in those regards. So I think there's a very big difference. And it's not just about tax law. I mean, I get it. I look forward to the time we can debate about whether cap gains should be this or that, or whether or not the tax rates on the corporations should be higher, they should be, or whether billionaires should be paying more, they should, or whether or not we lift the cap on the FICAs so you have to pay it regardless of how much money you make. Those are things I'm not like, I don't think we should, you know, change Social Security for those that are under 40, unlike Eric Hovde. So everyone has, I'm giving you all permission to vote for the Democratic Party this year. We'll come back with some of your calls, 855-752-4842. Teenagers suicidal. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it. Just let it go. People say that I'm a bad influence. I say the world's already full. I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers suicidal. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit me up on the lines right now. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. L.A. Tom, Republicans have a problem because Michelle Obama encouraged people to eat a carrot, but they want government to tell a woman what choice she makes. Yes, there is a difference.
Michelle Obama wanted everyone to eat carrots.
Oh, everyone?
Everyone.
Everyone eat your vegetables?
Yeah, men included.
Oh.
But abortions, I mean, that's only for people with uteruses.
Well, but men want to control that.
Exactly.
It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
855-752-4842. Eric from Lodi. Welcome, Eric. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I guess this does tie in. I was worried it would. I was past my mark here, but so your bartender your bartender that's libertarian,
yes,
and all politicians are the same, and all that other stuff. I think a lot of that can be traced back to sort of the both sidesism of the national media. You know, the New York Times, Washington Post have been accused of sane washing, you know, and interpreting Donald Trump's weird rants and everything and trying to isolate them so that they actually sound like they might make a point.
Right.
But you see that, you know, you see that in the local media, too. I mean, you were quoting the Milwaukee Journal about Eric Hovde and their kind of polite headlines about how his lies are. I kind of think the down ticket we could probably maybe refer to as inane washing rather than insane washing, but, you know, inane washing, because it's all kind of stupid. So I guess that was my point.
Well, and I appreciate that point, but, you know, and that's, I made the same point, Eric, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. How do you think then? Because, you know, I'm not national media over here. I'm not the New York Times, right? I'm not the Washington Post. I think I call them as I see them. But I'm not, you know, restricted by the bureaucracy and the legacy of, you know, some very fine traditional journalism. How appropriate? How do you think it should be? If you think they're sane washing now, how would you like to read those very same articles?
Well, I mean, the truth is the truth. I mean, facts are facts. I mean, my mother was a journalist until she passed away, you know, but, and she always, whether the truth was uncomfortable or not, whether she had access or not, whether it offended people or not, she went after the truth. And this is, you know, right now, political reporters in this country on the large media are stenographers or they're translators and they're not questioning. I mean, the debate with the vice presidential debate, like maybe what, two fact checks during the whole thing, maybe three at the most. That's ridiculous. It's their job.
And J.D. Vance was lamenting that they even did the one.
Oh, he was crying. Yeah, it was terrible. And Trump backed out of 60 Minutes because he was going to be fact-checked.
Yeah, you know,
everybody needs to fact-check these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that. Kamala Harris did go to 60 Minutes, unlike the chicken Donald Trump, who was afraid to have someone call his lies out to his face. We do have a couple of cuts. Let's end there. Thank you, Eric, for the call. Jess, if you would please, let's hear Harris on 60 Minutes. We're not going to hear Trump because he didn't go. Here's Harris, cut one.
There are plenty of leaders in Congress who understand and know that the Trump tax cuts blew up our federal deficit. None of us, and certainly I cannot afford to be myopic in terms of how I think about strengthening America's economy. Let me tell you something. I am a devout public servant. You know that. I am also a capitalist. And I know the limitations of government.
Well, you keep talking like that, you might attract a few Republican conservative voters.
I mean, she has.
I mean, let's hear about the guns. I'm sure she wants to take all your guns away, right? Right?
Right.
So what kind of gun do you own and when and why did you get it?
I have a Glock and I've had it for quite some time. And I mean, look, Bill, my background is in law enforcement. And so there you go.
Have you ever fired it?
Yes. Yeah. Of course I have. At a shooting range. Yes, of course I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, duh.
She's a capitalist and a gun owner. They also broached the topic of Israel. Let's play cut three, please.
All right.
We supply Israel with billions of dollars in military aid. Mm-hmm. And yet Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to be charting his own course. The Biden-Harris administration has pressed him to agree to a ceasefire. He's resisted. You urged him not to go into Lebanon. He went in anyway. Does the U.S. have no sway over Prime Minister Netanyahu?
The work that we do diplomatically with the leadership of Israel is an ongoing pursuit around making clear our principles.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
Vice President Kamala Harris on 60 Minutes. She's doing lots of press here lately, and I know the megas are all crying about them, her not doing this or not doing that. Well, there was 60 Minutes, and 60 Minutes have been interviewing presidents for many, many, many decades. And for the first time, to my understanding, Donald Trump will not show up because Donald Trump doesn't know how to not lie. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Nightlight with Pete Schwab is coming up next. Want to thank our fair guest, Margaret Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Mondays through Fridays, and Mark Becker from Rational Revolution, 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great night.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us. Public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin early next month down in Baraboo. Charo, what is the secret? Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Are your shows what keep you young?
Yes, I will never get old.
while music is alive.
Yeah.
You got to move it, move it. I have ants in my pants. I had to move.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.